Friends, I would ask you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. And I want to admit to you on the front end, this is not very Christmassy. It is not a passage that you would probably ever read on a Christmas Sunday, on Sunday before Christmas, but I have a purpose for it. And so I hope that you will stay with me as we read Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. This is the story of what the early church was like. And Luke writes these words. Now the whole group of those who were believed were of one heart and soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was among them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, open this passage up to us. Open your message up to us as we preach and as we pray and as we sing and as we worship you. Worship is about you. We pray, Lord, that also that a helpful word will be given so that we will know what to do with it as we live it out this week. Bless us and keep us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the fourth and the last sermon in our Advent sermon series. We've been looking at scriptures and scenes from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Not only my favorite Christmas movie, my favorite movie. By the way, I also like Shawshank Redemption, if anyone cares. That movie came out, It's a Wonderful Life, in Christmas of 1946. Now, I'll admit that I have loved putting this sermon series together in part because my homework has been watching the movie, right? Talk about your sermon preparation. In our contemporary worship space, that space has been transformed into Bedford Falls. Still, on the stage area, you can see the living room of the Bedford's house. The Nelsons did a tremendous job with that. I hate to see this sermon series end, but Christmas is upon us, and that's what this Christmas movie is a little bit about. You'll remember the plot of this movie, of course. It's Christmas Eve, 1946, and George Bailey is suddenly in a lot of trouble. His forgetful and sometimes bumbling uncle, Billy Bailey, has lost $8,000, wrapped it in a newspaper, and lost it at the bank, and old man Potter got it. We all know that, right? That's what really happened. But soon at his house, at George Bailey's house, will be the bank examiner, someone with an arrest warrant, and the press. I wanted us to look at four scenes from this movie. The first scene you will remember was that it pans over Bedford Falls, and the people of Bedford Falls are praying for George Bailey. I love what his daughter Zuzu prays. She says, "Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy." You remember that prayer? And my hope for that sermon, that first sermon, was that you would go home knowing that our prayers for other people matter, that they are vital, that they are important. And I'm going to hold you to that. That's the first scene. The second scene is what I call the dream scene, choir. That is, George Bailey always had a dream, and his dream was to get out of Bedford Falls, right? To go and build things and see the world and change the world, to build bridges miles long and skyscrapers stories high. But George Bailey never leaves Bedford Falls, no. And sometimes the dreams that we have, don't come to pass either. Look at the story of Joseph we did, how Joseph had a dream to be married to Mary and to live happily ever after, when suddenly the news is shared that Mary is pregnant, and now it's God's plan and not Joseph's plan. Last week, we went to the bridge, right? In the contemporary services, we had a wonderful cantata in this room last week, but we talked about messengers and how Clarence was a messenger, and George Bailey was able to hear the message that God sent him through that guardian angel. And that leads us to today, this last sermon. It leads us to the living room scene of the Bailey's house. And it gives me the chance this morning to talk to you about something that I think is very important. It's on my mind, it's on my heart all the time. And that something is simply called community. Community, how important I think a community is. Recall the last scene with me. George is there at the bridge. Snow begins to fall. Bert the cop calls out to him, and George Bailey is suddenly alive again. He reaches down and sees Zuzu's petals, and he starts to run towards the car that he ran into the tree, and he runs through the streets of Bedford Falls, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. He even goes to the bank and says, "Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter." And Mr. Potter says, "Merry Christmas to you in jail." He's a very helpful guy, right? And so when he comes home, Mary is not there, but his kids are there. And soon Mary walks through the door, and she says, "They're on their way. It's a miracle. It's a miracle." And in walks Uncle Billy with a basket filled with money. I wish we could watch it today, but you've seen this scene 1,000 times probably. It brings tears to my eyes. Everybody starts coming, from Mr. Gower to Mr. Martini to all the people in town giving money and giving money so that George won't be in trouble. His brother Harry comes in at the end, and that's when I cry. When Harry comes through the door, that's when I cry. And Harry says, "A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town." Y'all have seen this before, haven't you? "To my big brother George, the richest man in town." As it turns out, riches have little to do with money and everything to do with relationships. Are y'all with me today? Yeah. As I've said before, every sermon needs a scripture. And the one that we read together just a few moments ago, as I've already said, is not a very Christmassy text, but it does do what I want to do this morning. It talks to us about community. Luke wrote the gospel that bears his name, telling the life story of the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He also wrote a second volume that we call Acts of the Apostles. Same author. One tells the story of Jesus. One tells the story of the early church and how the church got up on her feet. You remember in chapter 2, there is a wild and noisy, boisterous sound as the Holy Spirit shows up in Jerusalem. It was as if tongues rested on their shoulders and a mighty wind blew through the place. You remember that? Are y'all out there? Are y'all with me today? By the end of chapter 2, Luke is telling us what the early church was like. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. We're still doing those things, aren't we? Luke says that there was not a needy person among them. A couple of chapters later, in chapter 4, Luke returns to that same scene. It must be on his heart. It must be on his mind because he mentions it all over again. He wants us to understand there was an early commitment, an early devotion to Christianity and to the church being the church. For the second time in 4 chapters, actually you might say the second time in 2 chapters, Luke tells us that there was not a needy person among them. They sold their houses and land, and they brought the proceeds, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, who gave it to anyone who had a need. Our lesson ends by telling us there was a man from Cyprus whose name was Joseph, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I want to stop here for just a moment and ask you to put two scenes together. Choir, y'all with me? Two scenes together. One is the scene that we've just read about, how they came and laid the money at the apostles' feet. The second scene is from the movie where George Bailey's friends come and lay money on the table, right? Imagine the scene. Community. Helping each other when we need it the most. That's what a community is, and that is what a community does. And I will tell you, for the last year and a half, and for all of my days as your pastor, I'm going to be concentrating on that and building that. Are y'all with me today? That's the reason, even though I know not everybody likes it, we do a meet and greet in worship. I'm building community. That's the reason we have on Wednesdays, twice a month, more than a meal, so that we gather around tables. If you've not come to that, please do in January. It's good. And we gather together. That's the reason on Sunday nights, I come back, I teach a Bible study. I encourage anyone to join us as we start a new series of lessons this January. That's the reason we have Sunday school classes. And that's the reason that I have encouraged and will encourage small group ministry in this church. Community. Community. I'd like to share now two community stories with you. May I do so? The first happened 20 years ago. This year, 20 years ago. My sister Emily had routine surgery, a hysterectomy. I was with her the day of her surgery. The last words I said to her before she went into surgery was, "I love you." It turns out those were the last words I ever said to her. The next day, she woke up with a headache, and she had a stroke. And if she had been at home, she would have died right there, and we would have found her. But since she was in the hospital, she was wheeled off to the critical care unit. Tests were run, and the next day we were told she's brain dead. She had a stroke on her brainstem. Emily and I were very close, 13 months apart. People thought we were twins, which is really funny, because she's adopted and better looking. What I want to tell you that I remember about the days at the hospital was that word got out what had happened, and the waiting room was suddenly flooded. There were 50 or 60 people who came just to be with us. The hospital wasn't happy with so many people in the room, so they gave us a different room. And what I remember on the Monday after that, Thursday, when she died, is that we gathered in a church like this one, United Methodist Church in Conway, her home church. And I looked up as we came into the room, and it was packed. 800 people, they said, were there. And I looked around, and I saw people from every church I'd ever served in Arkansas and pastor friends. Tom, you'll attest to this. Pastor friends are our community as pastors. They are our family. That's what I remember. Someone suggested that a community is like an air conditioner. As long as it's running, everything's great, right? Someone has suggested that community is like the fire department. They're waiting in case you need them, right? I like those images. This church knows the power of community rallying together, don't we? About this time last year, five boys were on their way home from a hunting trip when they had a terrible accident. A terrible accident. This church, this community came together. We prayed, we called, we texted, we visited, we sent gifts. There were fundraisers, there were gifts giving. And as your pastor, I was proud to be a pastor of a community like this one in a town like ours. It's been a year, almost. There were long hospital stays, there were surgeries, there were therapies, but all five boys are doing good. Community, in my opinion, it's vital. Are you with me? Do you believe this? Will you help me build it? When there is trouble, and when there are times of joy, God shows up. And sometimes he sends guardian angels our way, people like Clarence and people like you, when we need them the most. If you would, go back with me to Bailey's house, to the living room. After his brother Harry has given his toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town, George reaches for a book, Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And he opens the book, and on the inside, it says, "Dear George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends." I say to us, no community is a failure who comes together. Leah gave away candy canes. I'm giving you a bell. In the narthex today on the Christmas tree, there are bells. And I didn't give them to you beforehand because you know why? I was afraid of that, right? I was afraid of that. But I want you to go home with that bell as a reminder that angels are all around us. And every time you hear a bell ring, teacher says, an angel gets his wings.